Hello, everybody. Is a thumbs up from the audio video in the back? Is that you, Brandon? Or not? All good? All good. Excellent. And are you all good as well? It's nice to see all of you here meditating together in a moment. And all the people online as well, welcome to you as well. We just tried coming in through the back door. Ajahn Brahm usually comes in, me and Venerable Patipada, but it was closed. Then I thought, it's just like meditation, you know. Sometimes you always try to go one way, but the way is closed and you have to find another way around. So we had to walk the other way around. And it's the same sometimes in your mind. You've always been trying the same approach to your meditation. And you do not see that there is the easy way around where all the doors are open. You always try to go through the closed door and you never find the peace. Like if we would still be standing outside the door, we would never find this peaceful hall. We would just be banging on the door, let me in, let me in. But we walked around. So in your meditation, sometimes you have to do the same. And one particular issue that people face in their meditation is that their minds keep thinking a lot. Hands up if you have ever had a lot of thinking in your meditation. I think the people who don't have their hands up are not listening. Because we all struggle with thinking from time to time because it's just our habit to think a lot. We've been trained our whole lives. Like I went to school and high school and university and always thought how to think. If you think properly, you'll be successful. And we always think, we believe that we have to think our way out of problems. So sometimes when we meditate, this habit of thinking perpetuates and it's just, the mind just goes on and on thinking, and that's very natural. So the first thing I'd like you to know, if you think a lot in your meditation, and that's okay, very natural, no problem. Whew. You are normal. Even the Buddha struggled with thoughts in his meditation before he was enlightened. There's a number of suttas, texts, in the Pali Canon where the Buddha talks about this, where he talks about stilling his thoughts in order to get into the deeper meditations. And one of these suttas is called actually the stilling of thoughts, and it's in the Majjhima Nikaya. And in that sutta, the Buddha gives a number, thank you, Chamari, gives a number of approaches to still the thoughts. And I won't be teaching you all of them now because it's more appropriate for something like a sutta class or, if some of you are interested, Ajahn Brahmali Sutta Retreat. This sutta is a staple sutta there. But one of the approaches that the Buddha gives is to think differently. Because often we think always in the same way about things. And the Buddha said he changed his thoughts from one type of thought into another type of thought. For example, angry thoughts he changed into kind thoughts. That's already better. But those kind thoughts he had to still as well. And we have all these sorts of thoughts going on in our heads. And sometimes when meditating, I find it quite helpful to analyze what kind of thoughts are they, instead of just treating them very generally as thoughts and thinking like thoughts are the enemy of meditation, I should get rid of them. Instead, just look at what exactly am I thinking about and why? And if you do that, and you get really to the core of the reason why you are thinking, then it often just a change of perception can lessen the thoughts. And there's many things you could be thinking about, but one very common thing that people have is they worry a lot about the future. They worry about their work, their health, their family, all these sorts of things that you know what I'm talking about. And instead of just saying, like you're sitting meditation and you notice that you're thinking, instead of just being like, oh, I'm thinking, I should be still, go back to the breath. Instead of doing that, maybe reflect upon, oh, why am I thinking this? Why am I worrying? Let's say you're worrying. And should I be worrying? Maybe there's no need to worry. You can imagine that if you are a junior monk and you have not given many talks before, and you have to sit in front of an audience, and more than 1,000 people will be looking online at your talk, and you have to improvise a 45-minute talk like I had to do yesterday, without any notes, any slides, anything at all. That before that, you might start to think a little bit and worry. Am I gonna say the right thing? What shall I talk about? Do I have any funny jokes to tell? So I was meditating yesterday before the talk in Bodhinyana Monastery. And I realized, oh, I'm thinking about the talk. But that's only tonight. It's silly. Why am I thinking? So worrying about this talk already. That's not helpful. And I can be in the present moment. But often we believe somehow, deep within, we think that if we just think about something more and more, we are better prepared for it. Do you recognize that? Yeah. If you just keep thinking about the job interview you have to do or whatever, if you just keep thinking about it, you'll be better at the interview. And if you have to give a public talk, you can't stop thinking about it, because you somehow believe that if you keep thinking about it, you'll give a better talk. But that's not the way it is. And if you have some experience in meditation, you'll find that if you can still the mind and let go of those kind of thoughts and be in the present moment, you'll be actually much better prepared for whatever the future brings, because you are more alert. You also become more creative and you're more spontaneous. Instead of being stuck in your head, you actually live more in the world. So you can think about your thoughts in that way, like all these thoughts that I have about the future, these worries, they're actually not beneficial at all. They're actually problematic. If I want to be more happy, more successful, more kind, more open, then I should actually not be planning so much. I should actually be in the present. So when I was thinking about my talk in the morning already, when the talk was only going to be in the evening, I said to myself in my meditation, okay, for this period that I'm meditating, I don't have to think about the future. I allow myself this time to just sit here. Sorry. To just sit here and be. And I knew that that was going to be a much better preparation for the talk than actually thinking about it. So that's one way that you can, in a way, use thinking to reduce the thinking. Think in a wise way about your thoughts so that you can actually change your perception and thereby reduce the thinking. And the Buddha called this contemplating the danger of those thoughts. And danger sounds like a little bit of a... that's the common translation, but maybe a better translation would be the problem of those thoughts. Contemplate the problem of worrying. Or maybe you're worrying about the past. Something about the past keeps coming up. Then you can apply similar methods. Just reflect. Why am I thinking about the past? And is this actually beneficial for me right now? Is this what meditation is about? Or can I allow myself some peace and quiet? And if you sort of get the hang of how to do that, then meditation becomes so much more easy, because in a way you have like an extra tool, an extra shortcut to make the mind more peaceful. So it's not always about just focusing on the breath and ignoring the thoughts. That is one way the Buddha also taught how to reduce thinking. But that's not the only way that you can reduce thinking. Sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes our worries are just too strong. And if you cannot let go of that kind of thinking simply by focusing on the breath or on the body or whatever else you're thinking about, and you need some extra tools. In my meditation, I've always used various methods, and I was very happy when I read the Buddha's teachings to be confirmed that there actually are many methods to meditate. In some traditions, they only teach you one method. Focus on the sensations, for example. That is about everything you'll ever hear as instructions. Just focus on your bodily feelings and ignore the thoughts. And if you say, oh, I'm still struggling with thoughts, you go to your teacher and they say, okay, just focus on the sensations instead. That is all the instructions you get sometimes. But if you read the Buddha's text, there's plenty of different of instructions to reduce your thinking. And I've taught you one today, which is to contemplate the problems with thinking, especially with worrying about the future, getting stuck in the past. And if you contemplate those problems and contemplate the benefits of being quiet and peaceful, then the mind often gets the message straight away and will become more peaceful as a result. So those are just some short instructions that you might want to apply today in your meditation. And I will in a moment give you a guided meditation where I will include some of these reflections as well. But since there are many methods to meditate, feel free to apply whatever method you think is appropriate to you today. If I give a guided meditation, it's just suggestions for you to follow, and you don't have to do them per se. You can do something else. So, do we feel like doing some meditation? Yes? All right. Let's do it. Or let's not do it, because meditation, we stop the doing. And the first thing we do to stop doing is to take on a comfortable posture. Just take a few minutes to adjust your body. your cushions, your clothing. Because we'll be sitting here for about 45 minutes. And it's important that you can sit decently, comfortably during that time. Please make whatever course adjustments are necessary and never rush this part of the meditation, especially when you do a little bit of a longer session like we are doing today. Sometimes it takes some time to tune in to the body, to get to really feel it. So just stay with your body and ask your body, what kind of adjustments do you need to be more comfortable? And if you get any response to that question, then please follow up on it and don't be stubborn, like, oh, I'm gonna ignore the pain in my leg or whatever that you might relieve by just sitting in a different posture. Don't be like that. Just adjust your posture. And once you find a posture that is good enough, see if you can relax the body in more subtle ways. Let go of the tension of the muscles in your neck and shoulders, and any other areas where you might feel tense. Sending kind thoughts to the body and just letting it relax. Sometimes we have aches and pains that won't simply relax. But then still develop a kind and positive attitude towards those feelings, not an attitude of negativity. You can reflect upon those feelings as being part of you, part of this moment, and they are allowed to be here as well. And with your body hopefully a bit more relaxed than before, we can start relaxing the mind as well. And we do that by arriving in the present moment. There is no need to think about the future. All those plans and thoughts about later today, next week, next month, next year, maybe even. Those thoughts are not useful right now. We can let go of those thoughts for the time being and allow ourselves to simply be with what is instead of what we think will be. We're here right now in this hall, hearing some of the birds outside, cars driving by, and by being in the present, we realize that this is a much better way to prepare for the future most of the time, and especially now that we are meditating. it is very beneficial to be in the present moment where we can find some quiet. It's like recharging your batteries. You'll find more alertness, more calm, more joy by slowing down. And not only worries about the future, but also any fantasies or daydreaming are equally unhelpful and unnecessary right now. Daydreaming is sometimes a sign of being bored in the present, and you're just looking for some entertainment inside of your mind. So if that happens to you, find some joy in the present moment. It's wonderful to be here. It's the only time that life really happens is right now. Using these kind of reflections, finds peace and quiet within, so that the thoughts start slowing down until there's only quietude left. I'll leave you with those instructions, and we can meditate quietly for half an hour. If at any time it feels right for you, then you can decide to focus on your breath and do the usual meditation on the breath. Dear friends, we are coming to the end of our meditation. If you've drifted off from the present moment during the meditation, then please one more time bring your mind back to this beautiful moment in time called now. And for one more minute, see if you can find some peace and quiet. And then ask yourself, what does it feel like to be in the present moment, to not be thinking so much? Do you feel better prepared now to face whatever the rest of the day might bring? If so, then remind yourself of this, of the power of meditation. That there's no need to worry so much, to think so much. I will now ring the bell 3 times. And at the end of the 3rd gong is the time to come out of your meditation. Okay, wonderful. So, I will now give the opportunity for everybody who feels peaceful and doesn't want to hear stuff and just go peacefully outside. Join to enjoy the nice weather, please. You don't have to stay. Because sometimes you become really peaceful in your meditation and you don't want to listen to all these questions and answers that are going to be coming up right now. In a way, they're often just more thinking. And I remember when I was a lay person, and even as a monk, sometimes I still listen to these guided meditations by Ajahn Brahm, and then I would often stop the talk or the meditation before the questions and answers, because I felt so peaceful and I didn't really have any more questions. So if you feel like that, then excellent. And I don't mind you going outside. Also, will be less questions for me, which makes it easier as well. So, all right. Are there any questions from people in here? Or are we all nice and peaceful? Hopefully. Sometimes people like me talk a lot about peace and quiet, and you might think, when am I gonna be peaceful and quiet? I'm always thinking so much. But don't give up hope, and please keep trying. Yesterday I said about how quiet is often not found. Quietude is often not found in a single moment. The Buddha said about wholesome states of mind, which include quietness, that drop by drop, you fill the bucket. So even if you just get a little bit more peace right now in the meditation compared to when you begin, that's like a little drop in the bucket. And next time you meditate, you do another drop. And every time a little drop, and eventually the bucket will get filled. And you don't need to scoop up the whole bucket in one go. Sometimes that also happens. You sit down and meditate and poof, you get really quiet. But often it's not like that. So don't despair if your meditation seems to not be working. Often we don't notice the little drops that fill up the bucket a little bit more, because with a single drop, the water level in a bucket doesn't rise much, and you can't even see. Sometimes our minds also actually do become more peaceful, but we don't notice because we're not alert enough yet. Anyway, no questions from the floor? Venerable Patipada, you have any questions? No? Okay, maybe if I know how to turn this on, then there's maybe questions from the internet. Is this it or this? Slide to unlock. Okay.
Wow.
People online have much more questions. Sometimes it's good to have questions, actually. Let's see. This is from Wolfram Gabi from Germany. When do you let things go? And when do you let things be? How do you let things go? And what is the difference? Well, in a way, letting go and letting be are just words, and in a sense, no difference. If you try to think too much about those kind of differences, may not be specifically helpful, but there is this analogy that Ajahn Brahm often teaches and which I love. And many of you will know, who've been to Ajahn Brahm's talks, is the simile of the cup of water. The water in this cup is moving right now. And what do I do to get the cup to be still? Maybe I should hold it more tightly. Hold it so the water becomes still. Oh, it's getting a little bit stiller, but it's not getting really still yet. What do you do? Yes, excellent. You've been paying attention. You put the cup down. So I let go of the cup. But you could also say, I let the cup be. Just let it be natural instead of holding it. And now, yes, the water is not no longer moving. And it's the same with the mind. Instead of forcing it, holding it, trying to force it to be still, you let it go and let things be. And just let the present moment be here. In a way, when you are in the present moment, then 99% of the thoughts will already subside. Because being in the present moment is letting go of so many other things, of the past and the future specifically. You're no longer worried about what the future might bring. You're no longer reliving the past if you are in the present. So all those thoughts that we usually have are all gone, and your mind is already more still. So that's one way to let things go. In a way, to let things go is to let them be. And just find enjoyment in the quiet. This is Tom from the Czech Republic. Sorry, I could have answered that last question in more detail, but there is so many questions on here that I will have to do them a bit more briefly. Tom from the Czech Republic. Dear Venerable Sunyo, that's me. When seeking seclusion and peace of mind, I tend to separate myself too much from others. And I feel tense when I have to be social again. How do monks deal with this? Thanks for the talks. Make complicated things easy to understand. Okay. A disciple of Ajahn Brahm, he says. Well, that's true. I am a disciple of Ajahn Brahm. This has nothing to do with your question, but when I wanted to learn to meditate, I went online, just the way you did, when I was about 15 years old, went online, how to meditate. And the first thing I found was, when you meditate, you label whatever you experience with a feeling pain, feeling this. And I thought, I want to meditate to think less, because I was worrying so much, couldn't sleep. This is not the way to meditate for me anyway. Then the next result in Google was Ajahn Brahm. So that is more than 20 years ago now. So I've been a disciple of Ajahn Brahm. That doesn't answer your question though. So you tend to separate yourself too much from others and feel tense when you have to be social again. How do monks deal with this? Well, feeling tense is often also a sign of worrying. You're like, oh, how will I interact with people? Will I say the right thing? Will they like me or not? Will I fit in? All these worries make you feel tense. And the way monks deal with this, or at least I do, is just by realizing I'm the weirdo and I don't need people to accept me. And I just interact freely and I just say whatever I feel like saying. And whether people like that or not, I don't really care. Because I don't worry about how they would respond. And if you're actually more natural and less worried about how people respond to what you're saying and doing, you'll find that they like you more, actually. Because people like spontaneous people and people who are themselves. So by being in the present moment and not worrying, you can actually, in a way, find also more success, if you want to put it that way, in social life. Because even when you interact with people, the interaction is much more alive when you are in the present moment and you're really there for that person. So that's one way you can deal with that. Also, we monks, we find seclusion in the forest, but we don't force it. We do so because we really enjoy it and we get a lot of benefit out of it. And we don't do it to get away from people per se. So maybe you're finding seclusion to get away from people for other reasons than just the peace, maybe. It's hard to tell, but that's just some thoughts that came up for me, Tom. So maybe that's helpful. From Eddie Tim. How is meditation different from, for example, relaxing the body, lying on a comfortable bed, or enjoying breeze on a beautiful hill? What can we do to accept present moment no matter our heart? So that's actually two different questions. So how is meditation different from relaxing the body, lying on a comfortable bed? Well, sometimes I meditate lying down, on a bed that you might not consider comfortable because I sleep on something that's like this thick or something, but I find it very comfortable. And that is sometimes meditation also can be done lying down. So that doesn't have to be different. But when you lie down, of course, sometimes you fall asleep. And falling asleep is not meditation. So, yeah, you can relax your body when lying down, but make it an objective to not fall asleep. And in my experience, it's very helpful to keep meditation separate from falling asleep, because otherwise you start falling asleep when you're meditating more easily, and you start meditating when you're trying to fall asleep. So really, before you lie down in bed, and if you want to try this, really tell yourself, I will be meditating now and not sleeping. And really instruct your mind that way. And you might also do the other thing when you're lying down to sleep, tell yourself, I'm sleeping now. Going to try to sleep now, not meditate. And sometimes when I meditate like that, I still fall asleep. But at least you keep that separation, and it becomes much more easy actually to lie down meditating. Most of the time when I wake up in the morning, and if I want to, I can just, the moment I wake up in the morning, and I can just keep lying there in the same position and start meditating instead, and I don't fall back asleep. So, because I've instructed myself so many times to keep the two separate. But enjoying a breeze on a beautiful hill is a little bit different from meditation, because in meditation, we go inside ourselves. We let go of the external world. I'll talk a bit more about this tomorrow, actually, during the sutta class. We let go of the world of the senses and we enter the world of the mind. So when you're outside enjoying the breeze on a beautiful hill, that can be very peaceful, and I don't discourage that per se, but you're enjoying the sensory world. And the meditation is not about enjoying the sensory world. What can we do to accept the present moment, no matter how hard? That's the other question by the same person. One thing you might do is to realize that the present moment is the present moment, and you cannot change it because it's already here. So sometimes the present moment can be uncomfortable. You're sick, you're tired, you're angry, you're in pain, whatever. We've all had these experiences. But those feelings are already here. You cannot change them right now. The best thing to do is to not add any more pain to that by getting annoyed of, why am I so much pain? Why is my life so hard? It shouldn't be this way. It should be different. If you start thinking like that, you just double the trouble. So instead, you just accept the present moment by learning that this is the way life is. And life is not always pleasant. Sometimes life is just hard. That was the last words of my talk also yesterday. Sometimes it's just hard. And that's just the way it is. And that is not bad to say that. That's also the first thing the Buddha said. That life is suffering. Yeah, well, he spoke in Pali, but that was basically what he was saying. And yeah, we just have to accept that is the way it is. And when we do so, we find peace, actually. You can be in pain and still happy and peaceful. From Fiona Nichols. Venerable Sunyo, how do I stop the terrible feelings that come with thinking? Should I just accept them and not judge myself? Sometimes when I get questions from online, it's quite inconvenient that I don't know how to use a tablet, first of all. But second of all, that I cannot ask for more information, because I would ask, what kind of terrible feelings are you talking about, Fiona? Because depending on what you feel, sometimes you should react differently. Terrible feelings that come with thinking. Well, you should never judge yourself. That's one thing that I would say. Whatever you're feeling is all a natural response. And it is not something wrong with you. Yeah. Whatever happens in meditation or outside of meditation happens because that is the way life is. And there is no need to judge it. And maybe if you have terrible feelings that come with thinking, I don't know, maybe you are feeling guilty during meditation that you're thinking so much, or maybe that's what you're talking about. But then also just realize that even people like the Buddha, they struggled with thinking before he got enlightened. Or all the other enlightened people before they got enlightened struggled with the same kind of things, and that's very normal. I hope that answers your question. Otherwise, maybe next time I'm here or somebody else, you might ask again. Dear Venerable, I often find my breath is quick and shallow. Is that normal? When I notice it, I get worried. And probably when you notice you get worried, your breath starts even become more quick and shallow because you get worried about it. Yeah, sometimes your breath may be quick and shallow, that's all right. And sometimes it's slow and very deep. And the Buddha's meditations instructions don't start with make your breath long and deep. No, it starts with whether your breath is deep, whether it's long or whether it's quick, you just know the way it is. That's how even the Buddha's meditation instructions started. A quick breath, or you could say a fast breath, a short breath, I mean. You just know it as a short breath. And that is all you need to do. And by just being in the moment, your breath might change. So there's no need to get worried about that. From Maria, I have taken meditation seriously in the last 6 months, but am not doing well. My previous meditation seemed better. What hindrance am I getting? Now that's another question that I would ask. How exactly are you not feeling well? So that's it's difficult to answer these questions because I don't know enough detail, but maybe you're taking it too seriously. Or sometimes when people increase the amount of meditation they do, they just start noticing problems that were always there, but they just didn't notice before. I had a question the other day when I was teaching meditation and somebody said, oh, when I'm meditating, I suddenly feel more angry. And then I told them, well, you probably already felt that angry before you started meditating, but because you're now meditating, you become more alert and you notice your anger more. So maybe that is going on with you. And you just seem to notice some problems that were always there, but now you're seeing them more deeply. Also focus, so sometimes it's also a focus of fault finding. You only focus on the things that seem worse. Sometimes just focus on the positive things as well that are there. So maybe that's the hindrance you are facing. Is it possible to get into deep meditation, the jhanas, as a married person? Should I abstain from sex in order to achieve a jhana? Thank you so much. No, you don't have to. And it's helpful to live a celibate life, to get into the really deep meditations, but not necessary. As a layperson, I got some very deep meditations as well, and I was living with my girlfriend. And, yeah, so I can't say how deep, but pretty nice. And I can say that if you feel like you want to stay with your partner and also get deep meditations, then there is no need to think that the two are, what do you say, how do you say that? Incompatible, not per se. Anyway, we'll talk more about the jhanas tomorrow, so maybe I will talk about that question more then. Thanks everybody for listening, for the questions. I'm sorry I could only answer them briefly, but we don't want to be here forever. Or at least I don't want to be. And if you want to listen to me forever, then just on internet, just press repeat and you can listen again. Okay, thank you.
Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavatam Abhivade Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sangha Namah.